Hello and welcome to another episode of the PE Risk Podcast. I'm Katie Ellis, a knowledge lawyer in the London PE team, your host for this episode. This podcast focuses on data, cyber and AI risks with Violetta Kukulis, a partner, and Herbert Sonica, a senior associate, both in the tech digital practice, based in our New York office and London office respectively. Portfolio companies are facing a raft of emerging national and international technology laws. Whilst compliance with these new laws and increasing public scrutiny on the responsible use of AI is a risk area, these new technologies also provide value creation opportunities for sponsor-backed portfolio companies. Sponsors are increasingly focusing on using AI to drive efficiencies and upskill workers in their own operations and that of their portfolio companies. This enables portfolio companies to provide better value for money for their customers and puts them ahead of their competitors. Thank you both so much for being here with us today. So let's start with this question. There's lots of new rules impacting investments. Why is AI and data continuing to rise up the agenda?
First of all, thank you for the introduction, Katie. I'm really excited to be here discussing all of this with you and Herbert. So why is everyone focused on AI and data? I mean, arguably the hype and attention all started when ChatGPT launched version 3.5. back in November 2022, right? So that really brought AI into the public domain. Since that time, there has been a focus by the public and the legislators on AI, and not only on the productivity gains and scientific advancements that could be made, but also the potential for societal harms, in particular, harms around bias and discrimination, job loss, privacy, and cybersecurity. I mean, I have no doubt that AI will impact every facet of our lives. The public has been loud and clear on this, that while there is excitement around generative AI, there are real and legitimate concerns. The public is demanding that appropriate guardrails be put in place. Also, legislators around the world have been passing new laws at a rapid pace. Arguably, the most groundbreaking is the EU's AI Act, which I will defer to Herbert on. From a U.S. perspective, we also have Biden's executive order, which came out in the fall of 2023. It's a far-reaching order impacting almost every federal agency. It's one of the most comprehensive and longest EOs that I have seen.
A lot going on. Thank you for that. What things are you excited about in this space that are playing out in tech and AI investments?
Maybe I'll start off here. Honestly, I'm most excited about the things we haven't even thought about yet. I think a lot of discourse in AI rightfully focuses on some of the knotty issues. So, you know, how do you make sure it's trustworthy, safe? I'm really excited about the increased public awareness of AI because I think it's shifting the narrative about, you know, is it here to augment our intelligence or replace it? And I think that means for PE professionals, it's also shifting the narrative when you speak about risk in data and cyber and AI. You know, we're really seeing how AI oversight is playing out in practice. And so one thing firms are doing in a really concrete way is establishing AI principles on areas like safety, transparency, privacy. And you know, these principles often build on things that firms are familiar with. So ESG principles is just one example. And that's a positive thing that I'm excited about because it's helping take the risk discussion and, you know, help the house crisply communicate what it expects of its own people when it comes to tech, like AI, and use of data when it comes to its own people and investment companies too. I think these principles are super important. First, they let you have meaningful conversations with the leadership about how their use of AI aligns with these principles. And I think it allows firms to have some flexibility, you know, to set a position on their view on the impact of AI to the house and also to their portfolio and making sure that's clearly communicated. I think that values-driven approach really allows firms to show how managing risk well, Katie, to your point at the top of this discussion, you know, can help create value. I think also this principles-driven approach is demonstrating the value of bringing stakeholders within the firm together and within portfolio companies together. And you know, ESG is a really important part of that. I would say on the point about AI principles is that they can't just be window dressing. You know, in the US, one thing that's already emerging as a trend is regulators are looking at things like AI washing. So are you doing what you say? And I think that means that, you know, underlying these principles, underlying policies, is there's much more focus around internal controls and practices. You know, just taking AI to use and facilitate investment decisions isn't enough. You know, just having principles, you have to have the underlying framework. So I'm excited about this move, but I think there's, you know, there's some space to really focus on how you implement in practice. I don't know, Violetta, what you're thinking and excited about.
I mean, I agree with everything that Herbert has said. I'm incredibly excited about the advancements in science, from its use assisting radiologists in the review of diagnostic images to helping biologists predict protein structures, which without AI, as we all know, could take years and cost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. From a legalist perspective, what has excited me is the collaboration that is happening between governments of the world as they look to design an appropriate legislative framework around AI. While there won't be a complete consistent global approach, there will be similar themes, even in common law jurisdictions like the US and the EU, which is based on civil law. I mean, I think there's countless examples of this international collaboration. There was the Bletchley AI Safety Summit in 2023. Many countries participated in that. That included the UK, countries in the EU, Canada, China, Japan, Nigeria, Kenya, the United Arab Emirates, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and the list could go on. And of course, it did include the US too. There's also NIST draft plan for the global engagement on AI standards. So they're looking to, you know, collaborate with international governments and experts to figure out what does red teaming really mean and how do you create standards around risk management. And I think also with the EU AI Act, technical standards will be one of the first areas to focus on. And there will be, I think, collaboration there and discussions with NIST. Also, there has been collaboration between the government and industry, right? An example of that includes the NIST AI Safety Institute Consortium, which brings industry members in dialogue with NIST and which Clifford Chance is also part of. There also are ongoing studies by the USPTO, the USCO on IP and AI. And I think there'll be many opportunities for stakeholders to get involved, provide input, and I encourage this, even in private equity where, you know, confidentiality and protection of trade secrets is important, along with sort of business strategy. But nevertheless, I think this sort of engagement is key.
Thanks. So what's one thing you'd suggest teams get ahead of this year?
It's really basic, but for me, I think it's knowing what AI you use, what AI you want to use, where you use it and why. And so asking the right questions at the outset of these projects. And then I think once you know that, even at a high level, you've established your AI principles and you've got a group of people together, I think having a really clear internal and external communication strategy to bring people along with your vision is really important. So whether that's in the house or the portfolio. And I think it's that clarity of vision that will distinguish winners, you know, those who understand and can communicate why AI tech is better than an alternative, how it's driving value, how the risks are being mitigated and so forth. And I think it means that you can have a convincing story to tell to sort of investors as well, and people that have put money in an investment concept. You said one thing, but I might sneak in another. I think supply chain risk is multiplied by AI, data risk, cyber risk, and all of that, particularly as lots of firms are buying in AI, lots of porcos are buying in AI. So I think meaningful intervention at the onboarding stage. So things like having more specific procurement diligence, ongoing monitoring, and even asking really basic questions of vendors. You know, what technology can you use to help us monitor things like how data is being used in the supply chain to help police the supply chain is something that will, you know, help support risk management aims.
You know, and if I could add a point on diligence, which I know can be seen as a boring topic, but I think investors really are focusing on diligencing the application of the existing laws and regs in the countries they invest in as they apply to AI, right? I don't think there's any deal now that I see or any sort of sim or, you know, presentation materials that I don't see a reference to AI. And likewise, with respect to sort of due diligence request lists and agendas, you see it coming up now in every single deal, right? So there obviously is an enhanced sort of awareness about the importance of applying AI and AI-specific lens on investments. And while AI-specific regulations are not yet a reality in all countries, you know, investor due diligence nevertheless is taking place. And if there are no laws, there are sort of data governance and ethical principles that are being applied with respect to the diligence. There's also focus on really getting to grips with people and governance issues. And this could make or break effective oversight of AI risk within a company. You know, what do leadership teams value and how do they implement their AI systems and deploy them? This will all impact sort of valuation, reputation, and growth potential.
Thank you. So what's the biggest threat, do you think, to the status quo in 2024?
So one of them, and continuing on my prior theme of managing compliance risks, is it's important for lawyers and business teams to stay ahead of the curve and learn about any sort of changes as they're being proposed, amended, and adopted. I'd say in the last year, many legislators in the US were really very much in learning mode, but now they're in the process of proposing bills and putting laws into force. I also think, unfortunately, that there'll be an increase in AI incidents, whether as a result of a cyber breach or algorithmic discrimination, in particular as it relates to areas in employment and finance.
Okay. So could you just share a bit about what sponsor legal and compliance professionals should be doing?
Well, look, every SIM and management presentation now has a few slides on AI, right? And conducting diligence around the legal risks around the uses of AI is really important. And I think that's something that legal teams should stay ahead of, in particular with respect to their investment. And it applies to both whether a potential target is a developer or a deployer. In fact, it's currently drafted in the Colorado AI Act, which goes into effect in February 2026, which really is just around the corner. It arguably puts more obligations on deployers than what's even set out in the EU AI Act. But based on recent statements from Governor Polis's office, I think that legislation is going to be amended and will focus more so on the developers of high-risk systems. So there's many areas to focus on in diligence, right? And I think you really do start with what uses of AI are being made, review of policies and procedures to ensure the safe and trustworthy uses of AI. And then from there, you can dive deeper into other topics, like, for instance, you know, evaluating potential risks around AI washing, right? Sometimes there's really exaggerated claims of AI use. And as they say in privacy law, say what you do and do what you say.
Yeah, and I'll build on that, Violetta, because I think for me, finding the right inroads for AI oversight, both in terms of the House's approach and in deals, is really important. I think there is a lot of focus on, you know, if we have something good like an ESG framework or something like a really good data and cyber diligence and monitoring framework, how do we build on that? Where can we supplement for AI and then data-specific risks rather than reinventing the wheel? So I think spending a bit of time actually asking that question rather than just wholesale replacing stuff is a really, really good focus right now. I think the next thing I would say is don't leave audit and testing behind. This is for me both in the technical and compliance and audit testing sense. It really can't be an oversight because, you know, things that I've seen is sometimes you create these programs, then at the end you connect with the audit and testing team and they say, we need something more. We need something different. These are the standards that we're expecting to be able to test these sorts of frameworks against. So I think having the conversation and involving these teams and the frameworks at the outset is critical. And ultimately, it's what regulators care about. You know, are you using data in the way that you intended? And are you monitoring that it's performing the way that it's meant to? And whether that's under existing laws, to Violetta's point earlier, or some of the new ones. And then we've said it, both of us, I think it's this point about communication. So making people aware of, you know, the AI opportunity, but also the threat, and bringing them along on this journey. Principles are great for that. Policies are great for that. But, you know, regulation is even actually requiring literacy. So the AI Act by the end of 2024 is going to be, you know, encouraging and requiring organizations to make sure that people are educated on the opportunities and risks. So finding the right way to roll out those requirements of training and communications is something that you can do right now.
Great. Thank you so much, Violetta and Herbert, for joining us on this podcast. You've given us a lot to think about in areas which are so important and complex for sponsors and their portfolio companies. To our listeners, if you'd like more information on our speakers and other risk topics, please visit our PE Risk website.